Blog Talk Radio.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're gonna be. Growing, getting better. You're not the person they see. Can't be mad at the things you've been through, cause they built your love through. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hustle.
Good morning, and welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. I am your host, none other than Chief Apostle Donnell Douglas. We are to encourage, inspire, and strengthen you through the Word of God. It's what we do on a day-to-day basis, and we're just excited that you guys decided to come by and stop by and to listen in on this morning. Remember, call a friend, tell a neighbor that the Worldwide Gospel Connection is on the air. Call in. That number is 563-999-3628. Again, that number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 if you want to speak with the guest that hosts on this morning. Listen, we're having an amazing show on today. None other than our brother, our friend here at the Worldwide Gospel Connection will be coming on this morning. None other than Pastor Sean Lacy will be on with us on this morning. And we're just excited to have him to come. It's been a while since our brother has been on to share in the Word with us on the broadcast. So I tell you, I'm just excited that he's going to be here to share and break the bread of life with us on this morning. Now, remember to call a friend and tell a neighbor to call in and join us, be a part of that conversation on this morning. Now, those of you that are listening in via the World Wide Web, remember, there's nothing like a live broadcast. We are live. This is not Memorex, ladies and gentlemen. We are live. So you can literally call in with your questions, and you could actually call in if you have prayer requests. Maybe if you just want to share how the broadcast has been blessing you, we'd be glad to have you guys come on and join us on this morning. Remember, pass that number on to one of your nephews, one of your cousins, one of your coworkers that really need to hear something from the word of the Lord on today, and let them know to call in, and we'll be glad to be a listening ear for them on this morning. That number again is 563-999-3628. Press 1, and that'll give us the acknowledgement that you guys want to tune in and chime in with us on this morning. You know how we do it here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Before we go any further, let us go into our effectual fervent prayer. We're going to share our morning scripture, and once we do that, we'll go ahead on and we'll introduce all those great countries that are listening in. So lend me your hearts a moment as we pray. Gracious and eternal Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your tender mercies, God. We understand and know, God, that if it had not been for you on our side, Father, we don't know where we would be. So on today, God, God, we come with our hands extended out, asking that you would touch us on this morning and move by your power and by your strength, God. Give us the ability to stand in the midst of the storm and the midst of the rain. And Lord, no matter what our condition or situation may be, Father, we know that your hand is on our life and that you're guiding us and leading us on every way. So we give your name praise. We give your name glory. We give your name honor. For it is just and due unto you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And we lift up this broadcast, oh God, to you. Father, we pray, take the reins of it, God. Do with it as you will. God, move by your power and by your strength. God, speak through the speaker on today. God, that we do. God, he who takes the platform on today, Lord, let him speak life to those who need to hear. Strengthen them on every hand. In the mighty and rich name of Jesus do we pray. And the body of Christ said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. Our morning scripture will be coming from the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, the book of Mark, the 16th chapter. And it simply says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm going to read that again because that blessed me. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. Amen. So that falls right in line with what we're doing right here. We are just excited to be a beacon light in this world, to share this gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. We're currently in 29 countries, 28 countries. I've lost count. Excuse me, I've lost count. We're just excited about how God has given us the privilege to be able to open up doors and just to share this gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are under the sound of our voice. We're just excited to be able to pour into their lives to be a beacon of light, a beacon of hope for those that are seeking for the kingdom. And we thank God for that opportunity. We really do. We do it because we love it. We do it because we love it. And can I be honest with you? When you love something, when you really love something, you do it because it's the passion that's a part of your life. And so I thank God for us continuing to have this passion to continue to push and fight. Can I be honest with you? Can I be transparent? At one point, I lost my passion to do it. I lost my passion to do it. But the Lord began to reveal to me, it's not about you trying to do something that is for yourself. It's to bless others. And when that really started to resonate and set and settle in my spirit, my passion came back. Because see, watch this. It's the glory of God being revealed in my life to be able to touch someone. That wouldn't otherwise get this gospel. So I'm so honored to be able to do what I do because it is the Lord's doing. It is truly the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. It's marvelous in our eyes. Let us go into our morning scripture. Our morning list of listeners. In these countries that are listening, I'm telling you, man, I have to check the bios and everything again because I'm thinking we maybe have some more that have been added, but I'm not absolutely sure. But I want to check those bios and see. I want to check my algorithm and see if we got any more that's been added. But we're just excited about all of you guys that are listening in. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. Thank you guys so much. My soapbox moment, excuse me, that I take every Monday. Remember, guys, there are some people that are listening in and this goes on this list. Their lives could very well be at stake for them listening in. Some of them are in those rural countries. And with them being in those rural countries, if they're caught with a scripture, not a Bible, ladies and gentlemen, but a scripture. Some of them literally take the word of God. Literally, when it says for you to bind it upon your fingers, to put it upon the tablets of your heart, to bind it upon your head. Some of these great people, they take them and they roll the scriptures up and they put them in their belts. They take those scriptures and they put it inside of the hat, the rim, the fill of their brim part of their hat. Some of them actually literally put them in their shoes so they can walk on the word. But if they're caught with it, watch what happens, ladies and gentlemen. If they're ever caught with it, they're made examples out of. They're taking it into the street. And when they're taken into the street, ladies and gentlemen, some of them are executed in the street. Some of them are just taken and sold into slavery. Families are split up and they never see each other again simply because they want to read the word of God. Some of us had the opportunity to sit at home and watch our favorite preacher. Some of us went into the chapel. Some of us went inside the synagogue. Some of us went inside of the church house, as we call it. I had to name all of them because I want y'all to get them. Okay. Some of us had 2 and 3 services that we went to and listened to. Some of us preached 2 and 3 services without the fear. Watch this here. Without the fear of retribution. Without the fear of backlash. Simply because, watch this here, we have the ability to be free to do it. These great people in these other countries, they don't have that privilege. They don't have that freedom. They don't have that freedom. So my job is to make you aware of this. That's my job. My job is to make you aware of this. Now watch what I want to help. Watch me help you as I help them. On your prayer time today, get into the presence of the Lord and pray for these countries. Now, you may not remember every one of these names of these countries that I'm going to call out. You may not get it. You may not understand it. It may not process right in your mind to be able. But what you can say is this: Lord, bless the Worldwide Gospel Connection, those that are listening in all over the world. That'll cover everything. So take that moment out. And intercede for your brothers and sisters on the other side of the world that are listening in. They need our prayers. And there's missionaries over there. There's pastors who have started churches in some of these countries. And sometimes they started on the border of that country. So they don't be in danger, but they go in and witness to them. Sometimes they have to do it under the cover of night. Sometimes they have to do it, and their lives are in danger. Watch. Watch, people of God. Sometimes they're let in and told, you can't say this. You can say this, this, and this, but you can't say this. It's getting the enemy is very crafty. He knows exactly what to do. So when you go into your prayer time today, pray for those countries. Pray for those taskmasters. Pray for those that have rule over them, that the Lord would turn their hearts, turn their attention, turn their mindsets to worship and to follow after Christ. Amen? Amen. So we're going to go ahead on and we're going to listen. We're going to go ahead and call out these great countries. And again, thank you guys so much for your participation, taking out the time to listen in to us on this morning. And we are greatly appreciative. We're greatly appreciative. Okay, those great countries are, we have Canada, we have Ghana, we have Guyana, we have Nigeria, we have Kenya, we have Zimbabwe, we have South Africa, we have Jamaica, we have Saudi Arabia, we have China, we have Hong Kong, we have Germany, we have Bulgaria, we have Russia, we have Mexico, we have the United Kingdom, we have Paris, France, we have Japan, we have South Korea, we have Ireland, we have India, we have Portugal, we have the Netherlands, Italy, Thailand, Romania, and we have Hungary. Thank you guys so much. We love you, and we're continually praying for you and praying with you. Amen? Amen. We're going to go ahead on, and we're going to take a quick musical break. And we'll have, by that time, we should have our guest that will be on with us on this morning. Amen?
Yeah. Mention my name when you talk to your father today. Life down here feels so strained. My brokenness is in the way. I'm not that good. Don't pray like I should. Yet I'm amazed you get me through. He sees me, but he hears you. He hears you. That's why I need you. Jesus, please mention my name. See, I got some bad news today. Be nice if you can carry this weight. See, it's got me questioning my faith. What else to do? The safest place to hide is you. You are the door I now walk through. He sees me. 'Cause he hears you, he hears you. That's why I need you. Can't help but love you. He intercedes, yes, for me, protects me from things unseen, right between God and me. He intercedes.
Welcome back. back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. Listen, our guest is on. We cannot hold this man of God any longer.
Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, I asked you for that beat.
We can't hold this man of God, this great man of God, any longer. We can't hold this great man of God any longer. We're just excited to have him on with us to share. None other than our brother Alfred here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection. None other than Pastor Sean Lacy. God bless you, man of God. How are you this morning?
Man, I'm well. Blessed, how are you this morning?
Okay. Man, listen, we're just excited to have you on this morning, man. We're anticipating a very great show on this morning. I was sitting back and I was asking God what could this month be about? And as I was preparing the flyer, God's love in this generation. God's love in this generation is what came up to us. The scripture that popped into my head was Romans 8:39 that says, neither height nor depth nor any creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in our Lord Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We deal with so much as a generation, especially as men, in the generation that we're in. We deal with so much. There's so many battles as men that we deal with, and in that being said, with us dealing with that, degrees of separation sometimes. How would you deal with the situation when you're explaining the love of God to a young brother that you're trying to get him to wrap his head around the situation that he's in and showing him that God still loves him while he's in that thing?
Well, first of all, let me say thank you for inviting me to be here this morning. I appreciate it. And I hope that I'm coming across clear, man. I'm a little bit under the weather this morning, but trying to get over that. But to answer your question, it is quite an interesting question, especially for this generation, because it is so clear and obvious that Satan's attack on this generation is to make us believe, first of all, that God is not existent, and that the battles that we go through, the struggles that we go through are that God is not with us. That couldn't be further from the truth. You and I know that. But presenting that to a young believer is the challenge because this world and social media and just the way that things are presented in this generation makes it hard for them to believe. First of all, to believe that there is a true living God. But then past that point, if there is a true living God, they would say, then why is it that a loving God would allow things to happen? Why is it that a loving God would allow war to happen and people, you know, who seem innocent to die? Or why is it that a loving God would allow these things to go on? And my answer to that would be because God is loving, because God is sovereign, because God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he does is allows his will to be done. And and his will is always perfect. It's not always understood. It's not always well received by us, but his will is always perfect. And
right.
Jesus Christ himself is the is the true manifestation of God's love. The Bible says, very, very familiar passage, that God loved the world so much that he gave his son, and his son gave his life. And later in that same apostle, in the writing of Apostle John, John the Apostle, he says, no greater love has any man than this, than a man lay down his life, and then he calls us friends, for friends. And so Jesus Christ is the true manifestation of God's love, because God gave us, he bankrupts heaven to give us his son, and then his son gives us life, and that life that he gives up gives us eternal life, gives us salvation. That's the true manifestation of God's love. And so when we understand how much God gave up for us, how much he sacrificed for us, and that's what true love is. True love is sacrifice. I got another preacher friend of mine that says, he talks about love, and I've heard him use this analogy. Says that romance without finance has no chance, right? So when you
come on, Doc.
when you really love something, you're willing to give up something. You know, you're willing to make sacrifices. You're willing to do something to show that. Love is action. It's not just words. And so God shows the ultimate action when he says he loves us by giving his son, you know, and then his son gives his life. And that life gives us salvation. So to a young believer, I would say that God's love is sovereign. It's perfect. His will is not always understood. And that's the part that we have to begin to grasp. But just because we don't understand always his will doesn't mean that he doesn't have love for us.
Yeah. And sometimes I think we misidentify God's love for us too. I tell people this all the time. If you ever sit down with our senior saints, as I like to call them, and listen to them that have a relationship with Christ, they have seen some things in their life that, watch this here, that we haven't seen yet, and when they express how their relationship is with Christ, you don't hear the good times all the way through that conversation. You hear about the storms, and they'll say, and I love how they, a lot of times they're ended, but God is still faithful. Love is being faithful to you. Love is being faithful to the fact that, yeah, it may not look perfect. It may not look the way you want it to look. It may not line up like you want it to line up, but it does not mean that God don't love you. That's the part that I think a lot of us miss. We miss the fact that we think that God don't love us because God don't give us what we want. But if any good parent, let me show you good parenting skills. Let me give you parenting 101. Good parenting, there's a no intermingled with a yes sometimes. Sometimes it's more of a no. It's more a no than it is yes. Watch this here. If your baby got up every day, if your baby got up every morning talking about, I want chocolate cake, I want chocolate cake, I want chocolate cake, I want chocolate cake, and every morning you set a plate of chocolate cake in front of that baby just because she wanted it, and she sat there and ate it, and all of a sudden she wake up one morning, Daddy, I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling sick to my stomach. Something wrong with it. I don't feel right. You know, I'm feeling lightheaded. I'm feeling dizzy. Take that baby to the doctor and then find out that baby got diabetes. Why? Because you gave that baby everything that they wanted. You gave her that sugar. You gave her that sugar every day because that's what she wanted. She wanted you, instead of you giving her what she needed to have, giving her the fruits and, you know, giving her some cereal without all the sugar in it, giving her, set her down with a plate of oatmeal, you know, a balanced diet. of good and bad. Let me help you with that. Let me show you something. A balance of good and bad produces, watch yourself, a more effective life when you got a balance of good and bad. But watch this here. You get there and you realize, you're sitting at the doctor's office, and then you realize that the reason why she got diabetes is because you sit back and you done fed her all this sugar all this time. And that's mm-hmm. what God does not want from us. He does not want a church full of diabetic saints, because we're sitting back and you can't go through nothing. You can't experience nothing. And the first time something happens that don't feel good to you, don't sound good to you, soon the preacher got to chastise you out of love. I ain't talking about talking about you over the pulpit all hard and rough. I'm talking about pulling you over to the side and speaking to you. The Bible says an open rebuke is better than secret love. So when you pull them that joke over to the side, listen, you will be doing too much now. I need you to sit down. I need you to put your hips in that seat, and I need you to act like you got some sense, and watch this, and live your life holy like you're supposed to live your life holy. Quit putting all your business on Facebook, because it ain't got back to me that you didn't sit up there. You're out in the club turning up. You know, you're out there popping bottles. I need you to sit down. Secret love. If I won't just pray for it from over here. I hope that everything worked out well. But as leaders, as men of God, as fathers, we have to speak into our children and exclaim to our children, listen, this is not the way. We have to explain to our churches as pastors, this is not the way. We have to explain to ministers to connect us as apostles and tell them, listen, this is not the way. I was talking to them yesterday. I gave my little brief soapbox Easter speech on the end after our overseer spoke. But I didn't get to the point that I wanted to get to, is that social media has made the church literally into a place to where people don't want to come. So social media has tore us up now. And I tell people all the time, social media is good for a number of things. But your personal business, and for you to vent on this radio, vent on your on these podcasts, and to vent on these TikToks, and vent on these Instagram posts, get on Facebook and get on here and just run YouTube and just run stuff down and run people down. Man, listen, everybody got a flaw. And because that, why? If we didn't have a flaw and God didn't love us like he say he loved us, I'm telling you, we'll be in a bad place. Go ahead, Doc.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, I agree. And I believe that social media has its place in our generation where we are. You know, of course, you and I are at the age when we were younger, we were teenagers. You know, for example, dating these days is much different than than what we knew. You know, when we were their age, because you know, we didn't have social media. We didn't have all the exchange of, you know, personal information and pictures and all that kind of. We actually had to have a conversation. You know what I mean? It wasn't as digital. These days, social media has made it very, very easy for that to happen. Now, I believe social media has its place. For example, when the pandemic happened, had it not been for social media, the church would not have been able to reach its audience during the pandemic. But now, I believe that social media is kind of handicapping that. It kind of affected the physical assembly, because now it's very easy for people to just get up in the morning and sit on the side of their bed and say, tune in to somebody's broadcast or somebody's website, log on to somebody's website, listen to that for 30 or so minutes, and say, oh yeah, I've been to church. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are to be excited about the assembly of the saints. We need that kind of connection. We need that personal connection. And so I believe that especially for our generation, that the social media connection may be easier, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's effective. Easy doesn't always equal effective. You know, old saints, I think I've had this conversation, had this conversation with you before, that when I was growing up, we had church all day, man, on Sundays. And
yes,
multiple times during the week. You know, when we got up in the morning and we saw our parents packing up the truck with food, we knew we were going to be at church all day. And the old saints, and the old saints, man, they, you know, that was their connection. The way that young people connect through social media these days is the way that the old saints connected then. You know, they had worked all week. They had, done that thing all, done to take care of their personal stuff all week. But now Sunday was the Lord's Day, number one, but it was the way that they connected with each other in the sanctuary and in worship. You know what I mean? And their struggles is another thing that made it it made it feasible for them. It made it exciting for them to go to worship. And even before those times, you know, back in times when when black people didn't have a choice about their weekly activities, after they had been oppressed all week long, doing what other folk told them to do, Sunday was their time to put their clothes on and feel like somebody and go to church.
Yeah.
And I think the conveniences and conveniences of today makes it hard for our children, our grandchildren, to understand it, because they have so much. They didn't experience the struggle, and so for them to say, well, I've been through all this week, and church is a place for me to go and not just worship, but to connect with people who've been through the same thing. I've been through this. Yeah, it's hard for them because they don't see it that way. And social media makes it so easy for them to connect. I've had some my kids to tell me, I go to church online. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being connected with a ministry online. But the physical connection, I don't think they understand the effectiveness of the physical connection of actually being in a church setting and having people who can lay eyes on you and you have a physical connection to that. That's very important. Saints, and if it wasn't, the Bible wouldn't tell us to don't forsake the assembly of yourselves together. That's Bible doctrine, you know.
Right.
So,
a lot of times too.
I'm sorry. Ahead,
you know, and a lot of times, Doc, what we don't realize too, you know, and thank you guys that are tuning in and joining in this morning. A lot of times what we don't realize is back in those days, if you really want to go back to those slavery days, they loved God. They loved being in church. They loved being part of the church. We're talking about churches. We're talking about the love of God through the generations. That's what we're talking about this morning. And a lot of times what happens is, In those slavery days when they would gather together, this is how they passed information. Their love for God and them being among the saints was their way of passing information. This was their way when they gathered together, because they couldn't always get to each other every day like we do now. You know, telephones have made it a lot more easier for us to call up to say, hey, sister so-and-so, I got this over here for you. Come on, swing by. The love of God will have you compassionately talk to your sister, talk to your brother. And your business wasn't in the street, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just going to be honest with you. Listen. I wasn't gonna tell nobody that I blessed somebody, but because you know that they stuck to the scripture, they understood the love of God so to the point to where the scripture, when the scripture told them, that you do in secret, I will reward you openly. Here, baby, they'll slide you some money in church. They'll roll it up almost like a straw and just slide it in your hip. Slide it in your hand, and you take it out. It's $20. That thing been wrapped so hard, you be like, Lord have mercy. Got to take an iron. The iron got to iron out when you're getting ready to go put the gas in your car because they rolled it up so tight. But it was the love of God, man. They would do that. And this generation that we're in now, and they like to use the word dispensation and all that stuff. This time that we're in. The love of God, it seems as if we can't find it. Mm-hmm. Can I just be honest with you? We can't find the love of God like we need to. We can't. The love of God cannot be identified in the church. And it's sad. I'm going to tell you why it's so sad. Because we got all of these people, and y'all forgive me. I know I'm social media savvy. I'm not social media savvy, but I know how to work. I know my way around social media. And I know what to put on there and what not to put on there. I'm just going to be honest with you. Let me be really clear. I know what to put on there and what not to put on there. I'm not going to let you all the way into my business because I got stuff that you just really don't need to know about me. But anyway, when we get back, we take the social media sometimes and we browbeat people who we really need to be praying for, because if you really had some love in your heart, then explain something. You won't be showing all the bad about it. You'll try to identify the situation and say, hey man, look, this is who we need to be praying for. This is what we need to be praying about.
Absolutely.
But instead, you would rather put all that information out there and then this is my thing. You start a fire. And when you start the fire, you walk away like you ain't done nothing. And then watch the whole building bomb burn down. That bothers my soul. My pastor used to say it like this when we were growing up. He said, you throw a rock and then hide your hand.
Yeah.
Trying to act like you ain't done nothing. Oh, I'm just reporting the news. Don't shoot the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. You found out something that you should have been praying about.
Mm-hmm.
When you find your brother in fault, what you supposed to do? You supposed to restore him in love. When you find him in sin, you restore him in love. That's your job. You go to your brother and wrap your arm around and tell him, hey, man, I understand you're going through it right now. You're going through a place, yeah. Very bad place right now. And I love you, man. I know you got it. And I've heard about it. I don't know how many people know, but I know they ain't gonna know what nothing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying for you, man. I know it's hard for you right now. And watch this here. This is the thing. My grandfather taught me this when I was young, and then I'm gonna let Pastor Lacey talk. You never know a man's journey until you walk a mile in his shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You never know a man's journey. Sip them penny loafers on. Sip them Crocs on. Sip them gaiters on and go for a walk in his life. And try to figure, listen, and then you'll be sitting up there after that, you'll be trying to figure out, Lord, how much do people know about me, about my life? That nobody just ain't said to me. But everybody in the church knows about it. Back in the day, back in that generation, they didn't do all that. They were faithful. Now, I'm gonna put this out here, and I want you to chime in on it. I'm gonna put this out here. Sometimes we have situations to where our teenagers and our teens make mistakes in this world, and the church browbeats them.
Ooh.
They browbeat them. Help them with that one, Sean. Help them with that one, Pastor.
Listen, it's very interesting that you asked that question and And it made me think about a sermon that the Lord allowed me to preach a little while ago. I said earlier that God's manifestation of love, his show of love, was to send his son and for his son to give his life. And so for those of us who are true disciples of Jesus Christ, not just simply wearing the title of Christians, but those of us who are true disciples of Jesus Christ, our mission in the world should be to show the love of Jesus. And if we're truly showing the love of Jesus, it ought to be seen in our actions, and I said that. And where better, right, should disciples, can disciples show love, but in the church through discipling others, right? And sometimes, Pastor, I feel like we forget. Maybe we don't forget. Maybe we're just too embarrassed or too honor it, like the old folk used to say, to be honest with our kids, with our grandkids, you know, for them to go through their own struggles, and for them not to be able to have somebody to be honest with them and connect with them on that level, you know. Teenage pregnancy is not something that just started happening in this generation. Smoking weed is not something that just started happening in this generation. Drinking alcohol and, you know, all this kind of thing is not something that just started happening in this generation. It's been happening through many generations. It doesn't make it, mm-hmm. it doesn't make it right. We're not giving, and I think sometimes when we feel like, you know, we're talking about it, we're connected with it, that we're giving approval to it. Doesn't mean we're giving approval to it. It means that we're being honest. And kids need that. They don't need somebody to make them feel worse than what they already feel about it. You know what I mean? They go through their own struggles. They go through their own challenges as kids, as young people. And when they come into the church, they should feel love. They should feel embraced. They should feel some type of connection. You know, they may not be dressed like us. You know, they may have tattoos. Mm-hmm. You know, their hairstyles may not be what ours are. But why does that? What has that to do anything with the way they're embraced? With the way that we show love to them. And the thing about it is the Bible shows us so many examples of Jesus showing love to people who just did not look like him, who did not live mm-hmm. like him, who did not do the things that he necessarily did. All of his disciples were men who, you know, that Matthew was a tax collector, and you know, in the Bible, tax collectors were despised. They were looked down on. They were hated. But Jesus used a tax collector. He used common everyday fishers, fishermen, mm-hmm. to be disciples. There's a story in the Word of God, in the Book of Acts. And this is the sermon I was referencing earlier when the Apostle Paul was preaching, and you remember the story when the boy was up on the top layer of the building. He fell asleep during Paul's sermon. Mm. He fell down into the crowd and hurt himself. And those people who were sitting around, now I want to remind you two things. They're sitting in the church when the boy falls, but rather than trying to restore him immediately, they immediately condemn him for falling asleep in church. Now the first thing that happens is, yeah, he physically falls asleep, but spiritually, what does that mean? Like, there are young people in the church today that they just don't connect. Maybe, and in that story that showed me that maybe the boy was just not connecting. Not just that he fell asleep, but maybe he just wasn't connecting with what was going on. But rather than them reaching out to him and meeting his need, they immediately condemned him for falling asleep in church. And Paul says, listen, this is what we're here for. This is the reason why we're here. This is the reason why I'm preaching. And when we really understand that this is our ministry is to reach the world. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, go out into the world, compel men to come. He didn't say compel men that look like you, that dress like you, that have the same thought as you, that dress like you, that have the same hairdo as you. He said compel all men to come. And so when we really understand what our God-given mission is, I think it'll become easier to connect. And like I said, it doesn't mean that we have to agree with everything, but we have to learn how to connect and how to minister, not just through words but through love. We have to minister with love.
Compassion, yeah. I was reminded while you was talking. I was reminded how the woman that was caught in adultery, and they drug her, and to Jesus and said, "What say you? This woman was caught in adultery." I got two problems with that. First off, I got a problem with the men that drug her to him. What you was doing? What was you doing? She got caught in adultery. What was you doing? First off, that's my first problem. Now, my second problem is you dragging her where the man at.
Absolutely.
You gonna bring the woman, but you ain't gonna bring the man. You say she was caught in adultery. In other words, she was caught in adultery. In other words, she was y'all were there. And you had to be there in order for you to say we caught her in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
But you gonna bring only one side of the party that was caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
My second, the third problem I got with it is you bringing her to Jesus with stones already in your hand. You already made up your mind. You said those that have been caught in adultery. You said the Bible says. The Mosaic law says that they must be stoned to death. They, not her, they need to be stoned to death. You sit back and you're telling me that you could bring this person to Jesus and you got a handful of stones already passing judgment on the situation. That you're finna stone this woman to death. You ain't catch the man. Y'all was able to catch up, but y'all wouldn't catch the man. So the man that got away scot free. But this woman that you can call, since we can call her an adultery, let's go get on and kill her. Now my thing is this, and this is the reason why I brought us to this place right here. We see people in this place and in this thing and going through what they're going through and experiencing what they're experiencing. Yes, she was caught in adultery. Yes, she was caught in the sinful act. Yes, the Mosaic law says for this. But because God loves us, he extended his grace to her. But my question to you is, how is it that you could sit in there and be ready to stone somebody and you was at a place? Because, see, you have to understand, and y'all excuse my color vernacular, y'all excuse me, but we need to get biblical clarity on this situation. The woman was a prostitute. So she was in a house. Back in those days, they had prostitute houses. So in other words, you being caught, you had to be in a place that you wasn't supposed to be in too. So you got an issue with somebody, and you've been in a place that they said, listen, what was you there for? I know you wasn't out there passing our tracks.
Right.
I know. I know you wasn't out there playing for nobody. I know. Listen, I know. I know for a fact that these bunch of men, this men that break, y'all wasn't in there spreading no gospel. Y'all was in there doing something y'all ain't got no business. And she was probably one of y'all favorite ones, and she got caught with somebody that y'all wasn't familiar with, and y'all upset. because y'all had this whole crew. Now I'm gonna tell you how I know this. This may be biblical. What they call liberty, as we call it. But as he sat there, Jesus don't know none of their names, but I believe he put it beginning to write. Joe, you was with her the night before that. Timmy and John, you was with her the day before that. Ricky and Mike, y'all was with her together at the same time on the same night. Y'all was in the same bed with her. I mean, you know, can we be real and be honest? We can sit back and we can put people business in the street. We can put people business in the street. When you got love for somebody, when you truly let me clear the air for you real quick. Let me give you something. Because watch this. We've all been in one of those places, and we've all been in those situations. We just never got caught.
Absolutely.
Amen, lights and walls.
This is the truth. This is the truth.
Amen, lights and walls. We just smoked a tree since we've been in the church. Hello. Let me get you set free and delivered. You took a sip of the forbidden fruit a couple of nights ago. Listen, let me bless you to your blessed place, push you to your perfect drive, you to your destiny. We all have flaws, but there is a thing called grace. And that's what this is my thing. This is where I got a problem. We do not condone the sin. But you cannot, Lord, help me right through here. You cannot take the person that has the issue and just toss them away.
Right.
There's an old saying that goes like this. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And for years I tried to figure out what the heck that was when they used to say that. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But what they were saying is don't throw the baby out. Just take out the time to clean the situation up. And when you clean that person up, toss out the situation, but try to encourage and strengthen that person. Right. Because a lot of times, Sean, watch this here. A lot of times they don't understand why they're where they're at.
Right.
Can I be honest with you? They're doing stuff as I like to call it, they're on repeat. See, A lot of times they do stuff that they see other people do. Can I get real personal? Sometimes they do stuff that their parents have done. They've seen their parents do, so they repeat what their parents done. We black. This is a black broadcast. This is a black man. These two black brothers talking. We be black for about 2 minutes. We had parents. Do what I say, and not what I do.
Right.
Y'all laughing, but I am so serious. my mama was the queen of do what I say and not what I do.
Right.
I had uncles that the king of saying do what I say and not what I do.
Right.
We acted and reacted to situations. Why? Because we're programmed. And see, a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, deprogramming our children is the most difficult part. Can I be honest? Can we address the elephant in the room? A lot of times, the reason why our children are in the places that they're in is because we've never effectively dealt with the condition that they're in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We never dealt with. See, one of the worst things you could do is have your children with a condition, and my brother just texted me something. He always stop. We have a condition. condition. We have a condition that we need to address, because we don't effectively deal with the condition in that place or in that thing, man. And so when we do that, what we wind up doing is we wind up being in a place where we have to literally die. I'm just gonna be honest with you. We have to go in and we have to do surgery as parents, man, and fix some stuff.
Right.
We have to go in and fix surgically, mentally. Man, we got to go in and we got to fix some stuff. And it's crazy that we'll set back and we'll do those things, Doc, and don't tell these kids, hey, what you got going on today?
Right.
Hey, this generation, they need some help with that. Go ahead, Doc. I'm sorry, I took over the whole conversation.
No, it's fine. I'm enjoying it. I just had this thought, but isn't it a ridiculous? It's just a ridiculous standpoint to think that people will come into the church and be perfect already. Jesus says,
"Come on,
in
man!"
Gospel that the world don't need a physician. It's those that are sick, and so if they're supposed to be perfect, if they're supposed to be at this place of holiness already, what is the purpose for the church in the world? The purpose of the church in the world is to compare men for us to show the love of God. The love of God is supposed to be shown in our lives to those who, like I've been saying, who haven't reached the place where we've reached, and we haven't reached perfection. We're just better than we were yesterday. And that's what God wants from us is not for us to condemn our brothers, to judge our brothers, but to help them get to where we are, because the better we get, the more we are to want people to around us to be affected by the lives we live, those who are not sick don't need to go to the doctor. So when people come to the church, there's a reason why they're coming. There's a reason why, and we be too worried sometimes about what they're wearing, how they look. They come in here, they come here smelling like weed and alcohol. My question to you is, how you know what it smells like? You ain't always been there. And so we've got to be real that we have a responsibility to be honest, number one, but to help people come to Christ. Listen, it's not our position to judge. We don't have heaven and hell to put them in, but we've got to point people to the light of Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing. That's literally what our goal is to point people to the light of Jesus Christ. Let me help get you from where you are to in the direction of Jesus Christ. And once they get to know the love of Jesus Christ, all of that other stuff will change when their hearts start to be convicted. But we try to do that from the outset. And
come on, Doc.
I think that's where the connection is broken between those of us who are already in the church and this generation. You know, like I said earlier, there are a lot of things that happen in this generation that just didn't necessarily happen in our generation. And so it's fine. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, but we just don't understand it. And so when we don't understand where they're coming from, we need to be honest with ourselves and say maybe they just don't understand where we're coming from also. And then there needs to be a conversation about that. You know, what is it that the church can help you with? Like, well, how can we be of assistance to you? What is it that you need to know about Jesus Christ? How we need to put people in place who can explain. Listen, where we are, quote scripture, in leadership, is not where we've always been. We were where you were, But let's talk about how to get you from this place that you are to a more spiritual place. And that's
right.
Love in action.
Right. Say that out. Yeah. You know, and with that same breath, I like how you said we need to put people in place. And this is crucial, especially in the body of Christ, especially with this. Put people with compassion before these people. Because when you're trying to get somebody into a new relationship in Christ, and you're trying to get them into the place where they need to be at, you need to have somebody with a compassionate level of mindset. Not saying that they're going to tolerate the foolishness, tolerate all of the worldly stuff that they got, but it's a way of doing everything. Man, I'm going to tell you this is coming from somebody who grew up Baptist. I grew up that Baptist. I transitioned over to non-denomination, but I grew up Baptist. I've been Baptist and Black my whole life, like Overseer Parker be telling me. I've been Baptist and Black my whole life, and so with me being in that place, I understood that a lot of times, especially us growing up, we had the mothers. I don't know about y'all church, but this is the church I grew up in. The mothers in our church that was teaching us, and the ones that was we called them sponsors back in the day, they carried a switch. So if you got out of hand, you gonna get whooped by one of these mothers or one of these sponsors. It was inedible. It was one of those situations when you got out of hand, you gonna get lit. That's just it. That's just the way we grew up. And that worked for us. Don't get me wrong. That worked for us. I'm knock on wood. I ain't never seen the inside of a jail cell. I've visited a few people that's been in jail, and I told them my brother went to jail. God rest his soul. I love him. I love him to life. I love him. That was my boy. I went to go visit my brother in jail. I'm gonna tell this story. I'm gonna get back on it. I went to jail to go visit my brother. These people took my shoestrings. They took my shoestrings. These people took my shoestrings. I'm sitting there talking to him with my shoes in my hand and no shoestrings. And I told him, I say, I will see you when you get out. I came here to tell you I love you and I miss you, but I will not come back to visit you. I will see you when you get out of here. I say, they took my shoestrings, man. I'm not in here with you. You're in here. I'm on the other side of this glass talking to you, and they done took my shoestrings. You won't see me again until you get out of here. I love you, but you took my shoestrings. But this is my thing. With everything that we go through, we have to realize that some stuff that we experience in those areas of our lives, we cannot be that person that speaks death to them. That same brother that I just got through talking about, that same brother, because I had compassion to come see him in a bad place.
Right.
He came to a church where I wasn't pastoring at the time. I was just visiting. My brother came to my church, to the church I was at, and we were there. And this man walked down the aisle while I was in, and it was, I forget what service it was, and he walked down the aisle, and that boy turned around and saw me, and he hugged me with tears in his eyes, and it was to the point to where it was so amazing that he came down the aisle, man, and came in the church. And was genuinely looking for a relationship with Jesus Christ, struggling in a bad place, struggling.
Right.
But he still made his way to church and came down that aisle and looked for me. Because why? because I the compassion that I had for him when he was in a bad place. That's the reason why what we have to do in this body, in this time that we're in, with this generation that we have, this is our opportunity to express the love of God. Because, man, I'm getting emotional, y'all, excuse me. To express the love of God, man, for real. And when you do that, you compel people, man. You compel people to come to Christ for real. They give their hearts for real. When you can look beyond what they got going on and still love them and tell them, look, I'm not perfect and I never confess to be perfect, but I know a man that if you give him your life today, he'll fix your situation. But it's got to be to the point to where when you get into that place, man, and don't look at that person's issue, don't look at that person's condition, don't look at where they at, don't look at where they coming from. You love on that person and tell them, hey, man, look, dirty, Crown Royal and Coke smelling like they just smoked a pound of weed. You still tell them, man, I love you. I'm gonna love you till you get it right. And that's what if you really want to know the truth, that's what God did for us. He loved us until we got it right. We and still making mistakes. And look, and still got stuff going on with us. And still got to get up in the morning, Lord, you know, Lord, guide my day, because if you don't guide my day, I know I'm going to mess something up. And that's what the love of God is. The love of God is continuously working for us. Continuously working for us. It never stops. Listen to the sound of my voice. If you woke up this morning and you can hear my voice, that's the love of God. You may be in pain. You might got some stuff going on. Listen, you might got some people that's on your listen to me. You got bills due. God gave you one more time. He gave you one more chance to get that thing right. He gave you one more chance. I'm sorry, Sean. Go ahead, bro.
No, man. I'm enjoying you, man. I just want to say absolutely, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And
yes, sir.
We're supposed to be as believers, as disciples, as blood-bought believers, we're supposed to be speaking life to people and making sure that the gift of grace that God has given to us, they understand that God has also given to them that gift of grace. We don't deserve anything we have. We haven't earned it. We haven't done anything to even come close to deserving the grace of God. But guess what? This morning he gave us grace again, because we've done enough just yesterday for us to have been for him to have taken away his grace. But then this morning he gave it to us again. And that's the message that we should be giving this generation, that God loves us so much that every day he gives us a new grace, because yesterday's grace is not good enough for today. Lamentations says every morning he gives us new grace. He's so faithful to us. Even when we're not faithful, he's faithful. And that's the message that we should be giving them. Not that we ought to continue, in our sin, not that we should continue displeasing God, but if we do, that's not enough for God to give up on us. And as believers, sometimes we give up on each other too easy. Oh, you messed up. And if God was to treat us like that, just think, where would we be? And as believers, we've got to give that message to this generation, that God loves us so much that he gives us grace that we haven't earned. It's unmerited, it's undeserved, but he gives it to us day after day.
You know, and one of the things that I learned too, Pastor Sean, is We can love people from a distance. Mm-hmm. Let me help you. Let me bless you to your blessed place, push you to your purpose, drive you to your destiny. Y'all remember when Jesus was in the upper room, and Jesus was sitting there, and he told him, he says, one that sits among you, that sits among us, that will betray me. The one that was going to betray him, say, Lord, say it's not so. He said, is it me? He said, you have spoke. But he still sat there, and he ate with him.
And ate with him, right.
I believe this is where the world got the quote, keep your friends closer and your enemies closer.
Wow.
Why would you want to keep that man around you and you know he's going to do something harmful to you? You know that he's going to betray you. You know, in the next scene of the movie of your life, he's going to be the one that's going out and say, catch him right there. Mm-hmm. You know, but see, the thing about love is this. You got to be able to love people even though they despitefully use you. Because, watch this here, don't miss heaven by 16 inches. That's the distance between your head and your heart.
Right.
16 whole inches. I will love you even though I know that you have this ought against me. I'm going to love you even though I know that your mentality and mindset right now for me is that you can't stand me. I'm going to love you even though you cannot process who God is, who I am in God. I'm going to love you even though you cannot identify me in this thing. I'm going to love you. Watch what he done. Watch what he did to me. And even though he said it, watch this. And I've done the research. I read the Bible. I read this part right here. I did not know this truth. He let him dip his hand in the bowl and eat. He did not ask him to leave. He did not ask him to walk away. He didn't ask the other brothers to escort him out. And I know a bunch of them gave him the side eye when he said, is it me? He said, yo, he said, you have said. And watch this here. You do know that when you got people around you that got stuff going on in your life, that you set the tempo for other folk that love you for real. So This is the reason why you have to keep your cool so your Peter don't cut nobody else.
Right.
You got to stay in your zone and trust the processes of God. Because a lot of times, watch this here, our process is more painful. Our process is more painful than our promise. Can I help you? You have to go through the process in order to get your promise. All hell breaking loose. From front end to back end. Don't know what today or tomorrow or next week gonna bring. But you gotta trust the process. And when you trust in the process, watch what God does. Trusting in the process causes you to be more effective than God. How? Because you could be able to tell somebody. You do know the more you share your testimony, the more God blesses you with promise. The more God blesses you with what you need. Because you're sharing and the more you testify, the more that you gain from God. Because he sees that you're thankful. Because watch this, you're thankful to make room for your blessing. God will open up a window and pour you out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive. How is that done? By being thankful and grateful, by sharing and giving your testimony, telling people that God, if it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know where I would be at. If it wasn't for the Lord doing this, if it wasn't for the Lord showing up, if it wasn't for the Lord this, if it wasn't for the Lord that.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
And loving people beyond what we see, man. Because a lot of times we can look at folks, and I'm going to give it back to Pastor Sean. We can look at situations and look at people in situations and misidentify a person because they're in the situation. I don't know how many times I sit up there, be watching social media, and they sit up there and they got this one guy. You think he's something? He one thing, but he's actually something else.
Right.
You know, you sit up there. You think he's a homeless man, and he's actually in actuality he's a pastor of a church. He said in front. This pastor said in front of his church. Just to see how these people was going to react to him being in front of the church. And he didn't say nothing. They brought him water. They brought him food. One day they say, I don't have much, but here's something to get you something to eat. You know, and I was sitting there and I was watching, and then there's some people that just walk right past him.
Yes, sir.
There's some people that
yes,
and just walk right past him. Didn't say nothing to him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. But I hate to end this. I hate to end this because this is really getting good. This is really getting good. We got some folk on the line. I don't know if anybody want to say anything like that. But I'm gonna open up the line and I'm gonna see if they want to say anything, man, and chime in. We don't have much time left, but I just wanted to try to see if they want to chime in and say anything. God bless you. Welcome to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. You want to say anything? Amen. We'll go ahead and put you back in the listening queue. Hold on a second. God bless you. You're listening in to the Worldwide Gospel Connection. You want to say anything? Amen. Amen. Your mic is open. This is 75. They got your mic open? All right. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. We'll go ahead and put you back in and listen in. Man, we just honored, man, that these guys come on and listen in. I thank God. I've got some text messages from some of the brothers that are listening in. Thank you guys for tuning in. They're listening in through the Worldwide Web app that we have. We thank God for you guys. We thank God for you guys coming on and sharing with us. Pastor Sean, what would be your closing remarks today? As we close out this broadcast.
Hello, can you hear me?
Pastor Sean, are you there? Yeah.
Okay, yes, can you hear me?
Yes, hello, sir.
Okay. Again, I would like to say thank you for allowing me to see. I would like to say to those who are listening, who may be in doubt about God's love, God loves you. He expressed that by sending his son, and his son giving his life and calling us friends, giving us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when you're ever in doubt about the love of God, look around. Put your hand in front of your face and take a breath. That's God's love in action. And for those who are listening who may get the opportunity. Well, all of us have the opportunity, but when you get the opportunity to show love, I invite you to show it in every expression of love that you can. The way God gives us love, show it to others, because life and death is in the power of the tongue. Excuse me. And we should, in every opportunity we get, show that same love that God gives us to our brothers. The Bible says to us that that we should compel men, and the only way to compel men is through the love of Jesus Christ. And so for those of you who are listening, find opportunities to love. Love is a choice, and when you choose to love, it's not going to always be easy. That's not what I'm saying at all. Love It's not easy. It's not easy to love people who've treated you wrong. Listen, Jesus is in a dying moment, hanging between two thieves on a cross. And in that last moment, one of those thieves say to him, when you enter your kingdom, remember me. And right before Jesus dies, he says, today you'll be in paradise. Jesus shows love even in the most painful situation. And that's what we should do. Even when it hurts, even when it doesn't feel good, even when we don't want to, we should make the choice to love. And so, yeah, that's what I would like to say, Pastor.
Amen, amen, amen. love is kind. Love is gentle. Love doesn't hold reproach. Love loves beyond recognition. You know, we look at the scripture where Jesus shows, the Bible shows about how Hosea was placed in a situation to where he had to love a wife that, number one, first off, didn't know how to love him, and number two, never really experienced real love, but God put it in him to love her, even though she didn't love him back.
Right.
Gave him children, but didn't love him back. Gave him, was a homemaker to him, but didn't love him back. Ran off. The Bible says she was a woman of whoredom. In other words, she was a prostitute. So ran off. God told him to marry a woman of whoredom, a woman of prostitutes. Told him to marry her. Watch this. What's the crazy part? She ran off after he loved her so much. She ran off. And when she ran off, she got caught. He found her again on the auction block, and he bought her back. After she ran off and left him.
My God.
Look, if you really want to know the truth, and if I bring you to tears, I think I've done my job. That's us. Every last one of us is on the sound of my voice. That's us. We have rushed into places that we shouldn't have been in. But he came in and he got us. He loved us enough to see us, watch this here, out in the club, popping bottles. So I was out there in them streets, one of them streets. Out there, let's just be honest, slinging the rocks, pushing them bags. That we'd have been out there. We was out there running after women, drinking, doing everything we were supposed to do. But he loved us enough to see us in that place and say, I got to go get my child. I got to go get my child. So with that being said, those of you all that are under the sound of our voice right now, I'm going to ask Pastor Sean to pray the prayer of salvation for you. Romans 10:9 says it like this, because we have here on the Worldwide Gospel Connection, we have what they call the Overcomer's Prayer and Overcomer's Scripture. So I want to share with you the Overcomer's Prayer Scripture. That Overcomer's Scripture is simply this. It's Romans 10:9 that says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus died and was raised from the dead, you will be saved. Pastor Sean, take a second and just pray for the people. You ain't got to be no long prayer, man. Just something to pray for the people, and then we're gonna end the broadcast out.
Right. Lord God, we come before you with thanksgiving in our hearts, realizing that you are God, we're your children. We thank you for being our Father. We thank you for loving us in spite of us. We thank you for loving us, and we don't deserve it. We haven't earned it. We thank you for loving us even when we mess up. You're so faithful. Great is your faithfulness toward us. We thank you for being faithful. God, I pray for those under the sound of my voice now. Somebody listening to this broadcast may not know you and the pardon of their sin. Lord, I pray now that you would you would extend to them the gift of salvation as you have already given to us. God, I pray now that somebody who don't know you today will come to know you, even on a Monday morning, that you will give salvation today. I believe, God, that somebody is receiving salvation now through Jesus Christ. And Lord, because we have salvation, we have eternal life. God, I pray now that as they are receiving salvation, that you will put them in a place where they can experience the love of God through saints who will surround them, who will endow them with love, and who will endow them with the things that they need for spiritual growth. God, I pray today for churches and pastors everywhere, so that our hearts are filled with love, and so that we can show that to those who come to our churches and who join our assemblies and who need to experience the love of God. Lord, teach us how to love them in the way they need to be loved. God, I pray today that you would bless every person under my voice. God, I pray for every man listening to this broadcast. Pray that you would make us better leaders, better fathers, better husbands, better pastors, better friends. God, I pray today that you would strengthen us in every way that you know we're weak. God, I pray that you will give us the power and authority that you've given, that we will use the power and authority that you've given us as men. Lord, I pray today that you protect our homes. We pray against every attack of the enemy on our homes, on our families, on our wives. Lord, I pray that you would endow us with your Holy Spirit so that we can be the men that you've called us to be. We can be everything that you have anointed us to be. We pray for your anointing today. Let it fall fresh on us, even on a Monday morning. And Lord, we give you praise for it all. We give you glory for what you're doing. Now in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Now, those of you all who gave your life on today, we want to give you three real quick keys. Number one, find you a really good church. Number two, get you a really good Bible. And number three, make sure that church that you're in is preaching the word of God. That's the purpose of the Bible. Read your Bible. And make sure that person that's preaching that word has a heart and a compassion and a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? So listen, we thank you guys for tuning in with us. Bless you so much. We thank you so much. And we ask that you guys continue to share and share this broadcast. Share by the number to next week for another, for a brother or a sister, for a brother that needs to hear, a nephew, maybe a cousin that needs to hear this word of Jesus Christ, that this is a generation that we're trying to see. We're trying to pull this generation back, the love of God in this generation. We're trying to reintroduce you back to who you are in Christ. Amen? Amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all so much for listening in. Y'all have an amazing day, and we look forward to y'all joining us again.
agree with me.
Agree with me.
We're all apart.
We're all a part of God's body.
It is His will.
It is His will that every need be supplied. You are important to me. I need you to survive.
Tell your neighbor.
You are.
Let's do it one more time. Come on, open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
Oh, we're all.